Looking for a new show to dive into? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like the full season of FX's epic limited series, Shogun, FX's new international spy thriller, The Veil, starring Emmy and Golden Globe winner Elizabeth Moss, and don't miss the all-new crime series, Under the Bridge, inspired by shocking true events and starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone. It's all new and it's all streaming now on Hulu.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Thank you for coming back. Part two is underway. The Dream Team. Let's clear this up. The Dream Team was supposed to take the best 11 NBA players. Well, the best 12 players. They ended up taking 11 NBA players, and they took Christian Laettner.
Yes.
A lot of people believe that Isaiah Thomas was one of the best 11 NBA players. A lot of people believe, Charles, he was better than John Stockton.
I think he was a better player than John Stockton.
Well, then why didn't he get to go on the team?
Well, you know, Shannon, number one, that is an amazing question, because I'm so glad I get a chance to straighten this shit out.
Yes, please straighten it out.
Number one, they never asked me about Isaiah Thomas.
Okay.
And it just came out, and I can't speak for the other guys, but they never asked me personally about Isaiah Thomas. And Isaiah Thomas probably should have been on the team. And they asked Michael Jordan, did he have anything to do with it? And then it actually just came out in the last year where he said, I'll play as long as Isaiah don't play.
Thank you.
So,
and then you got to have him. If you're going overseas, got to take the biggest guy.
So I don't know this personally, but I think it was Jack McCallum who said he had it on tape and he played it. Because I've been asked that question a thousand times. Dude, they never asked me about Isaiah Thomas. But apparently Michael didn't want him on the team.
Well, he wasn't going to be on the team.
Yeah.
Whoever Michael didn't want on the team wasn't going to be on the team.
We're not going to be on the team. But I will tell you something, man. I've been so lucky and blessed in my life. Ain't nothing like the Olympics.
Right.
It's the most cool event that I've ever been to. We had no idea how big it was going to be when we got there.
Right.
Because I tell people, that was probably a 12-foot window. Maybe 15 feet, where they could see us get on the bus. Mm-hmm. Man, it was 5,000 to 10,000 people out there every day just to get a glimpse of us. Mainly, obviously, Michael, Magic, and Bird.
Even though Bird wasn't playing.
But they would just scream to watch these guys walk. And then when we took off, there was a helicopter above the bus. There was a police car in front, police car in back. There was two guys on motorcycles, and one on the back had a machine gun. There was people along the highway holding up signs. It was, and we're like, whoa, this is some real shit here. This is the real deal. And we were like, yeah, man, this is.
Did you know it would be this big?
Not even close. Nobody did. We had no idea. Because first of all, you know, we never really experienced anything like that.
Right.
And then we were like, whoa, this is a big deal. I mean, people on the highway holding up signs, hundreds of them.
Right.
But when we walk out every day to go to the game, it was 5,000 to 10,000 people. They were like a 50 yards away, and they could only see us walk like 12 to 15 feet.
Right.
But they were screaming. It was crazy. But it's the most, but being at the Olympics itself, was such a cool when, and I tell people when they're playing that national anthem, and with me and Bird and Matthew, all the guys
overseas, and they're playing the national anthem.
Yes, and we're all getting goosebumps. I mean, it was surreal.
You do realize what you guys did is that you birthed an era, the Nikola Jokic's,
yeah,
the Luka Doncic.
Yeah.
Those guys came, they probably wasn't born then, but their parents and people, yeah, and coaches, they saw that, the Dirk Nowitzkis.
Yeah.
The Page, because at the time, if I'm not mistaken, the only guy that I can remember in that era was like Sabonis.
Yeah.
I think Page.
Yep.
Sarunas, Marcelonas.
Yep.
There were only a handful. It's not littered,
yeah,
like, and I don't mean that in a negative term, but it wasn't, yeah, the influx of foreign, yeah, European players like it is now.
Well, shout out to the great late David Stern.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was his vision, to be honest, to make the game international.
Right.
And when it was really funny, like the first time I met Dirk Nowitzki, he was like 18. And we're overseas, this is a Nike trip. And he's got like 30 at halftime. And I got like Scottie Pippen and some other, we got like, Nike was always ahead of the curve, taking us to foreign countries to,
right,
play. Dirk's got like 30. And Scottie was like one of the best defenders in the world. He's like, I got him. Dirk got finished like 50 something.
You ain't got it, Scottie. Yeah,
and I said, yo man, who the hell are you? And he got that thick German, my name is Dirk Nowitzki, I'm 18. I said, 18? Said, you want to go to Auburn? I says, just name your price. We're good. He's like, what? He said, I want you to go to my college. I said, hey, told the Nike guys, get this information. They call me back a week later. No, because then he said something. He says, I got to go in the Army. I said, yo, man, you 7 feet tall. You're not going in the damn Army. You're not going in the Army. Nobody going to have no 7 foot person in the Army. And and they called me back like a month later. I said, Chuck, you know, they changed the rules now. He's going to go in the draft. I said, okay. And, you know, people don't even realize this. You know, he didn't get drafted by the Mavs. He got drafted by Milwaukee.
Right.
And I hate to say this, and I apologize to his family. It's probably going to go down one of the worst trades in NBA history because they traded him for Robert Tractor Trailer.
You did.
And Trailer was a nice kid, rest in peace. But that's probably going to go down. That's a bad trade. Because,
mm-hmm,
Dirk's, up until to Joker, he was the greatest foreign player ever.
Right.
And when the Joker finished,
you were taking him over Olajuwon as foreign-born player.
You know, I kind of look at it different because
you like Akeem did play on American soil for,
yeah,
a number of,
yeah,
years.
Yeah,
these played, guys came, yeah, straight, yeah, from
straight
overseas,
came, yes,
to the NBA.
Shout out to Akeem; it was an honor and privilege to play with him also. But listen, by the time
Jokic is the best foreign-born player,
yes,
it's over. He done passed Dirt. He passed Dirt.
Yeah.
It's over.
It listen, because, you know, I think they're gonna win this thing again.
Did you think? I remember watching him. I fought his career since he obviously I played in Denver, and I've been following him. And I watched him in the bubble in 2020, and I watched Anthony Davis gave it to him.
Yeah,
but now
it's over.
He's on a different. Chuck.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy can give you 30, 20, and 15.
Like,
there's nothing he can't do.
Well,
offensively.
Yeah. Well, what's crazy? Like, last night.
Yes.
We were making a big deal because Aaron Gordon played fantastic.
Yes.
Fantastic. Jamal Murray played great. And then we were looking at the stats last night. We're like, yo, man, the Joker had 24, 15, and 9. That's easiest 24, 15, and that. And we didn't mention him.
On 13 shots.
We did not even mention him. We made a big deal. We interviewed Aaron Gordon because he had career highs in points and assists, rebounds. And I was looking at the stats. I said, man, Joker had 24, 15, and 9?
Right.
And it was so quiet. We didn't even talk about it. But, you know, I mean, you know what? There's two interesting stories in the NBA that people never talk about. Steph Curry and Joker.
Mm-hmm.
If people, you talk about people who deserve their job and people who should get fired, you know that when the Golden State Warriors had to make a big decision between Steph Curry and Monte Ellis.
Yes.
And most people got mad they traded Monte because Steph was always hurt. And same thing with Joker and Nurkic.
Yep.
They were like, y'all should keep Nurkic instead of the Joker. And you think about how different. One guy got four championships, and he's one of the greatest players in NBA history. And this guy's gonna be.
He gotta be about to get his 30 MVP.
Yes.
And possibly and another ring.
Do you talk about changing the entire dynamics of your franchise of history? That's amazing. Like, we made the right decision.
And Yoke went in the second round.
I know. But they had to make that decision.
Yes.
And the same thing, because they knew that Monte Ellis and Steph, that you can't play two little guards like that. And people were mad on both accounts. That's how crazy this life is.
Chuck, the Athletic had a poll. And this guy has been winning most overrated for like the last 5 years. And that's Rudy Gobert. Why does Rudy get so much flack?
Well, I think that we don't respect defensive players. You know, I love ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
Love ESPN. We don't show block shots unless it's Anthony Edwards that shot block
or LeBron shot. Chase down.
Or LeBron chase down. We never show defense. We show guys making shots and dunking. Like, ESPN is amazing, don't get me wrong. But in a 2 hour game, they show you a minute, maybe a minute. I doubt if the highlights of the game last longer than a minute.
Right.
They ain't showing Rudy Gobert blocking shots or changing shots.
Wimby, we showing Wimby blocking shots.
Yeah, yeah. But they gonna show him making threes and taking the ball behind his back and everything. But, you know, we don't show defensive players. Like, you think about it. In the NFL, we talk about the Bosa brothers, Michael Parsons. We very seldom talk about defensive players.
Right.
Because defense isn't pretty. Like, unless Michael Parsons making a sack or something by one of the Bosa brothers, Hutchinson in Detroit, right. Aaron Donald, who's right. Amazing. Shout out to Aaron Donald, man. It's been an honor and a privilege to watch you play. But we only show offense.
Yeah, because now it's an offensive era.
Yeah.
They don't let you play football like they had when they had Buckus and they had LT, your yes. Ray Lewis's, mm-hmm. The Ronnie Lott's that were decapitating people out there.
Yeah.
They don't want to show that side of the game because they're trying to clean it up and said, look, we're trying to stay away from, you know, we want to make the game safer.
Yeah.
But you want to see all these one-handed, you're going to see every one-handed catch that happens on Sunday. You're going to see that.
You're going to see that.
So, this is the greatest player of all time. It seems to be a two-man race now. Michael Jordan, LeBron James. Kareem is the most underrated player in the history of the NBA.
Yes.
He was the all-time leading scorer, the third leading rebounder. He won six MVPs, mm-hmm. five championships, and that make it seem like the man was some sauce.
Yeah. Well, I got nothing but admiration for Kareem. First of all, the activist he's always been.
Yes.
You know, I find let's talk about the Michael LeBron thing. They played in different eras.
Mm-hmm.
They're, in my opinion, they're right there. It's either A or B.
Okay.
But I will say this about LeBron. Number one, I like him a lot as a person.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
Never said that about Michael Jordan. He'll kill you. He'll kill you. I've said there's two things. I put Kobe right there also, but Michael and Kobe will kill you. LeBron's a nice guy.
Right.
Michael and Kobe will kill you. If they played against their sister, she's going to get her ass kicked. LeBron, like, he ain't going to beat up his sister. But I would say this about LeBron. I think it's the greatest story of any jock who's ever lived. Because if you go back and look about guys who came out of high school, people forget Kobe struggled early.
He did.
Kevin Garnett struggled early. LeBron James is the only one, because we had his first game.
Mm-hmm.
I say LeBron James is the only one who didn't struggle right away.
Right.
He came in and was a good player. He wasn't great, great, great right away, but he was a good player.
Right.
But also in this generation where everybody's got a cell phone and people out to get you,
mm-hmm.
he's never gotten in trouble. He's exceeded what
Any expectations. Whatever you thought he could be.
Yeah.
And because he was the chosen one.
Yes.
On the cover of Sports Illustrated 17. So whatever you thought he could be.
He's just eclipsed it.
He's eclipsed it.
And to never get in trouble in this generation. Like I say, you know, everybody's got a cell phone now. people are deliberately trying to get you.
Yes.
I think it's the greatest sports story ever, in my opinion.
Single mom. Yeah. He didn't go to college. They gave the keys to the franchise to an 18-year-old kid and says, we're only going to go as far as you take us. And like you said, he's been a model citizen, both on and off. Obviously, the building the brand, Jordan, gave everybody the blueprint.
Yeah.
And we see Kevin Durant. We see the Steph Curry. We see the LeBron James starting production company, being active outside. Give Junior Bridgman some credit, too. People don't know who
that is. Well, every time I see Junior, I say thank you because Magic is kind of taking over now.
Oh, yes.
But Junior was a good player, but his portfolio owning all those restaurants, probably being the first billionaire athlete, to be honest with you. Him, Dave Bing, and also is amazing businessman. Right. But every time I see Junior Bridgman, like, for a guy who didn't make a ton of money.
That's what's so impressive.
Yeah,
like, and didn't have the name.
Didn't have the name to learn how to handle business. And he's probably got 500 to 1,000 restaurants now. And like, does it so low key. Like every time I'm around here, I try to pick his brain.
Right.
Because the one, like, it's different now because these guys make so much money.
Yeah.
I said, back in our day, I says, dude, and I'm not poo-pooing on this either. I want to make it clear because, you know, when I say it, it's going to sound stupid. The most money I made was $5 million.
Mm-hmm.
That was my last year.
Right.
I says, now that's below the minimum. I says, to be a businessman in our day and become a billionaire, you are great at business.
Right.
You are great at business.
And he wasn't a name. People wanted to attach themselves to Magic.
Yes.
People wanted to attach themselves to Mike.
Yes.
He was Junior Bridgman.
Just a great businessman and a good dude. To me, is one of the greatest stories ever. And if I was the NBA, I would bring him in every year to my teams and say, guys, because what people don't understand, everybody on an NBA team or NFL team ain't making a lot of money.
True.
Or ain't going to play a lot of years.
10, 15.
The average, in both sports, the average year is about 4 years. Those are the guys who need a Junior Bridgman. That's like, you know, I was watching the draft last night, and this always annoys me about young kids. I was like, these dudes got Louis Vuitton shirts.
Iced out.
I don't mind a little ice. But too much ice, they got Dior shoes. I says, they do know that money ain't gonna last forever, right? Get you a pair of Nikes. I'm not paying for no Dior shoes.
But you gotta be nice. Cause no, you had that cranberry suit on. Yeah. You were nice, Chuck, with that little skinny tie.
There's nothing wrong with a nice suit. But I tell these guys, you know, Shannon, when I first was an idiot, when I became got my money.
Yeah.
I had like three or four cars. And Dr. J says, how many of those cars can you drive at the same time? I said, what do you mean? He says, how many of those cars you got to drive at the same time? I says, one. He says, well, why you got four? He said, Chuck, this money got to last you for the rest of your life. He says, this money got to last you the rest of your life. He says, son, don't waste all your money on cars. Everybody know who you are. Wow. He said, you pull up in a Kia. They know, oh, that's Charles Barkley. You pull up in a Mercedes-Benz or a Rolls Royce, that's Charles Barkley. But the problem is that money, it's not the fact that you can't afford that car.
Right.
It's the fact that $300,000 you spent on that Bentley, if you bought a car for $70,000, $80,000, you would have had $200,000 more in the bank, and it would have been growing and growing. And in 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, 20 years, that $200,000 is going to be worth a lot more.
The question is, Charles, that I tell young people, you can afford that car right now at 20. Will you be able to afford that car at 60?
Yeah, that's the key.
There's a 40-year gap in there.
Yeah. But see, the young guys, they think, like, I always tell them, I say, yo, man, we know stuff. I ain't trying to hate on no young guy. But I'm trying to, because I don't want you to be on that list. What list is that? 80% of professional athletes go broke. I don't want you on that. f***ing list.
Where are they now?
Yeah, where I like, yo, this money, you're 20.
Mm-hmm.
When you're 55, how much money are you going to have left?
Mm-hmm.
That's the key.
Especially living life. If you're living a lifestyle right now, don't you want to live that lifestyle for the rest of your life? I mean, I don't want to be poor. I've been poor.
Hey.
I know what it's like to eat raccoon, possum, sardines, Vienna sausages, pig ears, pig tails, pig feet. I don't want to eat that no more, Chuck, unless I want to. I don't want to have to eat it out of necessity.
Hey, well, listen, I got to have my pig feet.
You still eat pig feet?
I do. Oh, yeah, I do. I got pig feet. I get them. I go to a great soul food place here called K&K.
Okay.
I get me some pig ears. Not pig ears, pig feet.
Yeah.
I got to have my neck bones.
You see, I love some neck bones.
I love
oxtails.
Oxtails, that's their specialty. I love me some oxtails.
Yeah, messy. Yeah.
You got to get some yams. You got to get some collards. I mean, but, I tell them, I say, yo, man, I've been in your situation. I wasted money on cars.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, oh, man. Because when you waste money on cars, you're really just trying to impress other people.
Correct.
That's what you're doing. Cool. That's like, When I used to have nice cars, they said, what kind of rims you gonna put on it? I said, what do you mean? They're like, put some rims on it. I said, so if I put rims on it, I'm really trying to impress other people because I actually can't see the rims when I'm in the car. That's what I tell them. I said, you know I can't see the rims when I'm in the car.
Right.
So I'm really, that's what Doc said. He said, so you're really trying to impress other people.
Right.
You don't have to impress people. They already know who the hell you are.
Is it because, Charles, a lot of us come from single Nothing. Family homes.
Yeah.
We didn't have anything. And this is the first opportunity. Because we don't see the other side. They don't, I don't think Peyton Manning went out and bought a Rolls Royce.
Yeah.
I don't think guys when they, obviously they have nice homes and they, but I'm saying, I was like, man, I'm going, when I saw Miami Vice and I saw that Ferrari, I said, I'm getting me one of them. And Rolex, I said, I got to get me. So I wanted to like, that was my way of saying I've made it.
Yeah. And Herm Edwards, who's somebody I really like and admire, he says, you can have one car. You don't need five. You don't need a bunch of houses.
No.
He says, I live by the one model. You need one. That's good enough. And like I say, and the young black kids, and I'm talking to them, man, save your money.
Yes.
And another thing, you don't have to take care of all your family and friends. For some reason, black people, myself included, I used to be like, my financial people told me, why are you taking care of 7-8 people? I'm like, well, he said, no. No, you don't have to take care of everybody.
Right.
Because you're going to go broke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I tell these young kids, yo, man, if you want to do something nice for your mom and dad, you want to do something nice for a brother or sister, that's fine. They don't have to be on the payroll.
Right.
You don't, like, no, you don't owe them. That was their job to take care of you. But if you want to do something nice for them, that's fine. Grant Hill, his mom.
Yeah.
Rest in peace. Gave me the best advice ever. I said, because we were at the Olympics actually here in Atlanta in 96. And her and Calvin had came down for a couple games. They said, Chuck, we're going to be here a couple days and we got to get back to work. And I said, Grant just signed the first $100 million contract in NBA history. She says, sit your ass down, Charles. I said, Miss Hill. He says, Charles, I'm going to just give you some advice. Do not start taking care of your family and friends because number one, they're never going to stop and it's going to ruin all your relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what do you mean? He says, when you start giving people money, they're never going to ask you for money one time.
Right.
But she said, the second thing is no matter what you do for them, the first time you tell them no, they hate you. And I said, what? And I had to learn people who I have been giving money to, the first time I told them no, they like, no, we're not friends anymore.
Yeah.
That was a tough and painful lesson for me.
It absolutely is, because that's why you have to put limits on what you give, because they'll never put limits on what they take.
That's exactly right.
But it's like that with anything. Charles, you and I can go out here right now. We can sign 25,000 autographs. But if we don't sign 25,001, Shannon Sharp and Charles Barkley assholes.
But I had to learn that too. I'll sign some autographs, but I'm like, yo, I'm done. You asshole. Okay, I'm good. It don't affect me anymore. Because, you know, like I said, somebody said earlier, everybody wants to be liked.
Yes.
Because everybody here, guys, are, well, I don't care what people think about me. Yes, you do. Stop being an asshole. You care. Like, especially if it's like, if they don't have a reason now, that's different.
Right.
But everybody wants to be liked. But you can't make everybody happy.
You can't.
You, like I say, after games, I would stop and sign. I had a rule. I signed 10.
Mm-hmm.
There's 20 people. I said, guys, I got to go get something to eat. I said, I'm going to sign 10. That's it. And they're saying some stuff when you leave. But you're like, okay, we're good. I don't feel bad. I signed 10. I did what I was supposed to do. I'm going to keep it moving.
Who's your MVP this year?
Well, there's five guys I think you can vote for and feel like you ain't screwing anybody.
Okay.
Shai Gilgeous.
Okay.
Because they got the best record in the West.
Mm-hmm.
Joker. Jalen Brunson. Ant Edwards. And Luka. I think you, because the one thing I will say ESPN annoys me about.
Looking for a new show to dive into? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Don't miss the full season of FX's epic limited series, Shogun, set in feudal Japan. Shogun tells the story of one warrior in the fight of his life as a mysterious European ship arrives in Japan. Catch FX's new international spy thriller, The Veil, starring Emmy and Golden Globe winner Elizabeth Moss. The Veil is a globe-trotting game of truth and lies between two women with thousands of lives hanging in the balance. And crime fans, don't miss the all-new series, Under the Bridge, inspired by shocking true events, starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone. Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a murder that lays bare a small community's darkest secrets. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and is waiting for you on Hulu.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah, it's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar.
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
First of all, they make up these fake stories about MVP. The MVPs never went to the best player. Never.
No.
It goes to the best player on the best team. Because nobody in their right mind thinks Steve Nash was better than Shaq and Kobe.
Right.
But they had the best regular season record when he won MVP.
Mm-hmm.
He deserved it. Steve Nash deserved MVP. Michael Jordan was the best player before he started winning MVPs. But until he started winning, he wasn't going to get MVPs.
Correct.
So I hate that argument. Like I say, if you vote for any of those guys, I was like, that's fair.
Right.
Like, Derrick Rose won it 1 year over LeBron. He deserved it. The Bulls had the best record that year. Was he as good a player as LeBron? No. But they had a better record. And same thing with even KD, who's a great player.
Mm-hmm.
He won MVP. They had the best record that year. But it always normally goes, like I said, if you vote for Shai or Luka or a Joker, but I actually think what Brunson did this year for the Knicks was incredible.
Yes.
To get them to the second seed without Robinson being out most of the year, without Randall most of the year, OG was out for a period of time, what Luka did. So I think me and Magic had the closest vote ever.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is one going to be the closest one ever.
Wow. Who's your favorite non-NBA athlete?
That's a great question. It depends on the sport. Like in golf right now, my favorite player is probably Max Homa.
Okay.
Because he seems like a great kid and he doesn't take himself that serious.
Okay.
In football, it's Aaron Donald, who just retired.
Mm-hmm.
In baseball, it's probably Mike Trout.
Okay.
In tennis, Robbie Shelton.
Okay.
I think that's his name, Shelton. I forget. It's just another golfer named Shelton. I get them confused sometimes. But, man, I just love sports. Because sports, man, I have zero idea where I would be in my life without that stupid little round ball. Because it has did so much for me. Like I said, you grew up in a town of a couple thousand people. I have been all over the world. I'm sitting here on Club Shay Shay. Like, if it's not for that basketball, it has given me every single thing in my life.
Correct.
I'm so lucky and appreciative because I have I was able to build my mother and grandmother a house.
Wow.
I was able to send my brother's kids to college. I've been all over the world because of the stupid little basketball. And I can make up something where I would be without basketball, but it probably, if I'm real, it damn sure won't be as good, but I don't know if it'll be pretty, because I'm not going to get out here and act like I was a great student. I'd be working somewhere, doing something with me. Yeah. But man, that ball. I mean, I'm pretty sure, all the success you've had as a player and in an entertainment industry, like,
originated from that.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. And we're so lucky because, you know what I tell people all the time? I admire people who got a real job, but I don't want one.
No. growing up like how we grew up, Charles, it let me know what I didn't want to do as an adult. Because if it's breaking of a child, can you imagine as an adult doing that for 12, 14 hours a day?
And not even making money.
Nah.
I was like, because people say, what do you think about sometime during the game? I said, when I get tired, I think about, man, if you don't get some energy from somewhere, 9 to 5 don't sound good.
Nah.
9 to 5 don't sound good at all. I never want to work 9 to 5. Yeah. I mean, I said, I admire people who work 9, and especially like when you're seeing somebody somebody's doing a job.
Yeah. You're like, damn. Like, working two jobs.
Yeah. Well, no, but when I see somebody, like when I'm in Phoenix, it's like 115 degrees.
Yeah.
And I said, and they working outside. Oh, hell no.
Nah.
Or you see somebody working in the winter and it's cold. You're like, damn.
Right.
I says, woo. I'm glad I handled my business.
How many more years you think LeBron's going to play? And can he continue to play? I mean, he averaged 25, 8, and 7 in year 21. How many more years can he play, and how many more years can he play at the level at which he's currently playing?
I hope he retires soon, because I hated the way I retired, because I sucked. Jim Brown is really, and he retired because he didn't want to get tired of playing football.
And he wanted to act.
Yes. Yeah, he's like, because he wasn't making any money.
No.
And he didn't want to just kill himself. It ends badly for every jock. It ends badly for every jock.
Getting in is easy. It's the getting out is hard.
And your ego says you can still do it. Because I remember telling myself my last 2 years, okay, I'm going to get myself in great shape this summer. I'm going to have a good year, then I'm going to retire. Then I figured out, like, playing against air, everybody's good against air. Everybody is great against air. But when you see when that 25-year-old is looking at you like, licking his lips, you're like, oh, shit. And, like, there's nothing you can do. Like, when you working out during the summer and ain't nobody playing defense on you and you in great shape, and but when you see that 25, 27-year-old and he's looking at you like, yep, I used to watch you. Yeah. I'm coming for you.
Right.
And there's nothing you can do about it. But to answer your question, I hope he retires while he can still play. Mm-hmm. Because, man, I've been there myself. I saw Patrick Ewing his last legs. Saw Michael Jordan playing with the Wizards.
Yeah, Patrick, I mean Patrick in Orlando.
Yeah,
Mike.
I was like, that's the greatest player I played against. I don't want to see him doing that with the Wizards. So I don't want to see any great play when they pass their prime.
How do you navigate? Because you were a great player. You won MVP. You went, you played, won 2 gold medals. How do you navigate, Charles, when you offer a critique or a criticism of a current NBA great? Yeah. And they shoot back, well, you ain't never won anything. Yeah. What did you do this and what did you do that? How do you navigate that?
Well, you got to be able to dish it and take it. The one thing I'm really proud of, and I hang my hat on this, I've never been personal with a player.
Right.
I only stick to basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I only stick to basketball. I would never come in on a guy's personal life. Now, sometimes they get in trouble. I have to say something.
You have to.
But I can look at a guy and say, hey, man, because I get calls all the time from players and agents. Mm-hmm. I said, I'll tell you why I said that. And they're like, okay. I said, this is what pissed me off too, Shannon. Yo, man, why y'all never call me when I said something positive? I said, wait a minute. I said 9 great things about you. Why do you never call me when I said something positive? And I say 1 critique, and you blow up my phone calling me names. I had this thing with Kobe Bryant one night. So it was a game where he wouldn't shoot.
Right. Against Phoenix, Game 7, I think. Because you guys told him he would shoot too much.
Yeah. Well, he was trying to prove a point.
Oh, yes.
I ain't got no help. So he went the whole second half and shot 1 time. And I asked him, I said, Ernie, say what? I said, man, I'm so disappointed. I'm so disappointed in Kobe. He was trying to prove a point that he didn't have any help. He shot 1 time in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at that time, they were comparing to Michael. I said, Michael, when he played against the Celtics, he's like, I got to get 60-something. I'm going to get it, whatever. He's not going to pout. Kobe starts texting me, you mother. I said, yo, man, I'm doing my job. Look, you such a asshole. We go back and forth so about this time, it's about 1 in the morning. We go back and forth for like 2 hours. I said, yo, man, pick up the phone and call me. Stop texting. And it was great. We laughed about it later. He was mad at the moment. He understood I was doing my job. But it was so funny. We texted each other for 2 hours, Shannon. And it was just I'm just like, I'm not gonna get mad at dude. That's dude. Call me. Pick up the phone. But it was hilarious. We laughed about it later.
I'm gonna get you out of here on this. Yeah. Charles, this is the first time in a very long time that people that's in our position have had to comment on the discourse sometimes that's what's going on in America.
Yes.
We see the Trayvon Martin. We see the George Floyd. We see what happened in Wisconsin. And now all of a sudden, you and I, we have to comment on that.
Yeah.
Where when you played and I played, politics, religion, orientation, we talked about that, maybe mentioned that in the locker room without the media or without the purview of the public hearing about it.
Yeah.
How do you navigate knowing that you came from Alabama, knowing that what goes on in America, that sometimes it's racism, sometimes it's racist?
Yeah.
How do you navigate your conversation that you disseminate to the public?
That's a really good question because I'm asked that sometime with my boys. The first thing is, it's exhausting being black.
Yes.
It's exhausting being black. Like, we're trying to live our lives, be successful. Then Trayvon Martin happened.
Mm-hmm.
We got to talk about it. Unfortunately, that was a really awful situation. Then we get back in our routine. Then George Floyd happened.
Mm-hmm.
We got to talk about it.
Correct.
You know, I was talking to Sam Jackson one time. He's like, yeah, I'm trying to make a movie. They asked me, like, the year, like, nobody got nominated for an Oscar. So as a black person, something always coming up.
Mm-hmm.
For me personally is, I said, I have to, like, take a step back.
Mm-hmm.
Because the one thing you can't do is yell and scream.
Correct.
Because once you yell and scream, they're like, turn it off. And I say, guys, let's have a serious conversation. But I need you to be, my girl Judge Judy, I'm a big Judge Judy fan.
Yeah.
She always says, you're listening, but you're not hearing me.
Right.
I said, I need you to hear me. Don't listen to me, hear me. Those are two different things.
Listen to understand.
Yes. And I'm not mad at you, but I need you to understand this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just exhausting being black, because every time you're trying to do your thing or just live your life, something racist or racial happens.
Correct.
I try to do this one thing. I try to, like, don't ever speak when you're mad. Don't yell and scream. Because I know if I yell at you, you're going to ignore me.
Yeah.
You're going to turn me off or ignore me.
Yep.
So for me and you and Steven and Mike Wilbon, man, I need y'all to trust me. Because sometimes people play the race card when it's not playable. Because then you become the guy who's going to cry wolf all the time.
Right.
The one thing I promised TNT when I took this job, because I told them the social stuff is really important to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important to me.
Right.
I said, I won't beat you over the head with it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I beat you over the head with it all the time, they're going to, like, I'm not going to watch.
Pretty soon you become desensitized.
Yes.
It's not going to have the same impact.
Yeah. I said, so if every time something happens, he's going to talk about race or something like that. And I think I've done a good job. I says, I want to talk about this. But I think we have to be very selective.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I think we have to be very selective because, man, racial shit happens all the time.
For sure.
All the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I want people to see, like, Shannon, Charles, Stephen A., they're going to be fair and balanced.
That's it.
That's all. So that's the only thing I try to do in this situation. Like, yo, man, Chuck ain't just trying to play race or trying to
stir it up
or be a victim.
Mm-hmm.
I says, because the one thing you have to always say, like, sometimes black people are wrong. And then I know I'm going to be an Uncle Tom. I'm going to be a sellout.
Yeah.
I said, listen, man, those words don't bother me. We don't have to agree with all black people.
We don't.
But they think we do.
Yes.
They think we do. I said, yo, man, sometimes black people are wrong.
And it's okay.
It's okay.
And it's okay to say they're wrong.
But if you're a black person,
yeah,
in our position, look at that Uncle Tom.
Yeah.
Look at that sellout. I'm like, yo, man, we can be wrong. And that goes back to what we talked about earlier. I always want to uplift black people.
Correct.
Always.
Mm-hmm.
I want, like, I'm proud of your success. And I know people gonna hate on you. I know people gonna hate on me. And they're gonna be black. I said, but man, I love to see black people doing good.
I love to see us win.
I love it. But I was like, I'm old enough and I'm around enough to know there's gonna be some hate coming toward me. Especially if they disagree with something I say.
Right. But I want you to win. But I don't want you to win more than me. Now, see, if you win more than me, now I got to question your sexuality.
Yeah.
I got to question, you know, how black are you? Because, bro, I'm like, come on, man. I mean, I criticize white quarterbacks. But if I criticize a black quarterback, man, see, I should have known old Buck Nancy Shannon.
Yeah.
I know he gonna take care of the white. Yeah. Come on, bro.
No, man. Number one, I've been watching you for a long time, obviously. I never seen you try to get clickbait ever.
No.
I said, yo, man, I take this responsibility because I do know. But I'm not going to tell black people they're right all the time.
No.
If you want that, I'm not your guy.
If you're wrong, I got to tell you you're wrong.
I said, yo, man, no. We can be wrong. But also, on the other hand, when I see some shit happen to the black a black player in the community, I'm gonna step in.
Right.
You know, I had it was interesting. There's a couple of things happened recently that I talked to my mentors and friends about. One was O.J. Simpson,
mm-hmm.
and one was Michael Porter Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm not sure how to handle this O.J. thing. He said, what do you think? I said, man, I don't have any respect for men who hit women, and I think he killed them two people.
Mm-hmm.
I says, what do you think he killed those people or not? I think he did. I said, but I have, and I've always said this, and I'm just saying this to you, I have no respect for men who hit women.
Okay.
And I don't want to bash the dude, because he got a family and he died.
Mm-hmm.
He got kids.
Grandkids.
And I said, you know what? I'm not even going to mention it. And I didn't. Because I said, I don't want to just bash the dude, because I can't say anything positive. Yeah, was he a great jock? Yes. But when you go around beating women and like that, I got no respect for you.
Right.
And then the Michael Porter Jr. thing.
But the WNBA?
No, Michael Porter.
About his brother.
Yeah, both brothers.
Bro, yeah, one got a DUI, and I think he killed somebody, right?
He did.
He killed somebody, and the other brother took the under on himself.
Yeah, and I feel his pain. I feel his parents' pain.
Yeah.
I feel that as a jock. Because in it, and this is one thing, I look at sports, it's the greatest fraternity ever.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like everybody in the NFL, Anybody in Major League Baseball and NHL hockey, I think they're part of my family.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, they know my experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was saying, man, I really want to wish Michael Porter Jr., let him know that I'm thinking about him. I wish his family the best. And my friend says, yo, man, that lady did die. And I was like, yeah, you got a point there. Like, because if I said, hey, man, I wish you the best. I'm thinking about you. Because
mm-hmm.
I know that it's got to be painful for his family with his brother and his other brother going to jail.
Yeah. But it's like, not as painful for that family that lost their loved one.
Yes.
Because he can go to jail and hug him.
Yeah.
He can go to his brother's home and hug him.
Yeah.
They can't go to the graveyard and hug her.
And I said, Chuck, shut up on both accounts.
Yeah.
So I always think about, because, you know, it always makes me laugh. Because my friend's like, yo, man, you got these people eating out your hand. I said, what you talking about? He says, you know the reaction before you say it. I says, of course I do. I know when I'm going to start a fire.
Yeah.
I know it.
Right.
But I had planned on the start. Because most of the time, that goes back to the role model commercial I made.
Right. Yes. Yes.
So when I made the commercial, I went to Nike and said, I want to make this commercial. I said, they're like, you're out of your mind. I said, no. I said, what I'm noticing is we have too many segregated schools in this country. I said, when I go to these white schools, I said, what do y'all want to do when you grow up? They like, want to be doctors, lawyers, engineers, teachers. When I go to these black schools, they're like, I want to play in the NFL, I want to play in the NBA. And I was doing this because you do a lot of speaking when you're playing. So I was doing this for like 4 or 5 years. And I was like, yo, man, these black kids think they can only be successful through athletics and entertainment.
Yep.
They don't ever think about being doctors, lawyers, and engineers.
Looking for a new show to dive into? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Don't miss the full season of FX's epic limited series, Shogun. Set in feudal Japan, Shogun tells the story of one warrior in the fight of his life as a mysterious European ship arrives in Japan. Catch FX's new international spy thriller, The Veil, starring Emmy and Golden Globe winner Elizabeth Moss. The Veil is a globe-trotting game of truth and lies between two women with thousands of lives hanging in the balance. And crime fans, don't miss the all-new series, Under the Bridge, inspired by shocking true events, starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone. Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a murder that lays bare a small community's darkest secrets. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and is waiting for you on Hulu.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in, to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
And I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets.
Yep. It's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar!
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And like that.
Right.
So I talked Nike into doing the commercial, and it became a big deal.
It did.
Still probably the thing I'm most proud of to this day. I said, because I knew it was going to start a fire.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, guys, I'm not trying to skirt responsibility, but I want young black kids to know, like, yo, man, you don't have to play in the NFL or the NBA. We got black doctors.
Right.
We got black lawyers. We got black engineers. Mm-hmm. But y'all got these kids thinking, like, all they see is Shannon, Michael, Carl, Chuck, David Robinson. The only black people they see are jocks and entertain Jay-Z.
Mm-hmm.
I said, man, they got a better chance of being a doctor than a lawyer playing in it.
Jay-Z,
yes.
Or LeBron.
Yes. And I said, I just want to spark the debate. And in fairness to Nike, Nike came back to me later and said, man, we want to thank you for making that commercial. Mm-hmm. I said, because 90% of the letters we got were pro. I said, well, first of all, I'm not worried about no negative publicity, motherfucker. I play in Philly. I said, I thought my name was Charles Barkley, you motherfucker, for like the first 2 years of my, I said, guys, I'm in Philly. I'm used to criticism, but I always have used my platform mm-hmm. for a bigger debate.
Yes.
I'm trying to make a difference. You know, one of the things I'm proud of you, and I don't talk about this a lot, and I'm not trying to get praised because I keep it very quiet. So for the last 15 years, I've been giving $1 million a year away to charity.
Okay.
And I don't even tell anybody. I'm sharing this because I'm going to tell you why I'm proud of you. So I started out in my high school, my college, Wounded Warriors, ALS, Parkinson's. But the last 8 years, the point I'm getting to, I did HBCUs.
Okay.
It means a great deal to me to be able to do that.
Right.
And you being a product. When I watch you and Stephen A., when y'all go back to y'all HBCUs, I just think it's really important what y'all do for the HBCUs. And it really makes me feel good when I write that check. Because, you know, we got a couple of them here in Atlanta. I think three of them are here in Atlanta, Clark, Morehouse, and Spelman.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, I just want to use my platform to keep doing good stuff. But, you know, just being a product of HBCU, how far you came, I'm really proud of your success.
Appreciate it. And I think the thing is what that does is that you think about three of the most prominent morning voices, myself and Stephen A., Michael Strahan.
Yes.
With the HBCU.
Yeah.
He's a Texas Southern.
Yeah.
I'm Savannah State. Stephen A.'s Winston-Salem.
Yeah.
So it goes to show you, you don't have to go to Syracuse.
Yep.
You don't have to go to Michigan or one of these
yep.
PWIs
yep.
in order to do what we're doing
yeah.
because we're living proof of that.
Yeah.
I think the thing also, that role model, for me, I was very, very fortunate because every role model I had was in my house.
Yeah.
My brother, my grandfather,
yeah.
my grandmother. So I didn't look, athletes didn't, that because I saw them every day.
Yeah.
You see somebody jumping up and down on the basketball court or catching a football, you really don't know that person. You
no.
know what that person does.
Yeah.
I knew what they did. I mean, you know the sport they play. I saw my brother every day. I saw yeah. my grandfather, my grandmother. So that's what I, and
yeah.
I followed my brother around.
Yeah.
So I wanted to be just like him.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, if I could be like him and my sister, it drove my sister crazy, Charles, because she was like, Shannon, be your own man. Why you want to be like him? But as I got older and I remember telling, I said, everything I want to be is
yeah.
like him.
Yeah. Well, what's crazy about it, and you know this, and unless you've been in pro sports, you don't know this. Man, there's so many assholes in our sport. Like, all you got to do is be nice to the press, and they're going to write good stuff about you.
Yes.
I've been in this thing for 40 years, over 40 years. Some of the worst people I've ever met got the best reputations because they're great with the press.
Press.
And some of the people who got the worst reputation are some of the best dudes in the world. And I said, and it's all dictated. If you're nice to reporters and they got access to you, they're going to be right. Oh, he Everybody. Is the greatest guy. And I tell people, I said, man, you don't know these guys at all.
Right.
And it drives me crazy. I said, that's the reason they going to keep everything in the locker room. Because you don't want to know what's going on. I said, yo, man, this dude got the best reputation. He's the worst person I've ever been around.
Charles, how have you been able to keep your husband, father? How have you been able to keep that so hush?
Well, because I was not a good husband. And I want to be better next time. I do. I have been, my daughter, it's been the best thing ever happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
But the next stage of my life, I think I got to be better.
Mm-hmm.
I do need to be better. But, because I didn't know how to be a good husband or father.
Because you didn't have, because your father was away.
Yeah.
He wasn't in the home.
Yeah.
He wasn't a good father.
And I just need to be better. And I hope to be better next time.
I want to ask you this, because this is something you know, Mike. There's a situation. Michael's son, Marcus, I don't know if he currently still is, dating Scotty's ex-wife.
Yeah.
How would you feel if a teammate of yours dated your daughter? Would you feel some type of way?
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. I feel bad for Michael. I feel bad for Scotty.
Yes.
That is so messy. I don't like messy because when it's messy, everybody has an opinion on it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has an opinion. And you know, the internet is not a place for messy.
No.
And you have to understand, it's a lot of kids involved.
Yes.
And people are mean. People are mean. And it's unfortunate. You know, I just got onto social media
mm-hmm.
because I didn't want to be around the meanness. And I feel bad for everybody involved because I see all the pictures. I don't do the comment stuff, but I know they're going to be mean.
Right.
But it's just, I just hate messy. And it's just really messy. And there are no winners. There's only losers.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously, Michael and Scotty's relationship can't ever be the same.
Right. Did you know, was it the last dance when Michael put that, because he wasn't there at the time when Scotty yeah. refused to go in the game.
Yeah.
And he inserted that into the last dance. Did you always know that Scotty and Michael had this kind of contentious relationship? Because from the outside, it looked pretty good.
Yeah, I was surprised it was so bad.
Okay.
I was surprised. But in fairness, I didn't spend a ton of time with those guys together.
Right.
I spent a lot more time with Michael.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more time with Michael. You know, it's just a sad situation because I think if you, not that I know, but if you win a championship with guys, y'all probably have a special bond for life.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
I think if you win six, y'all might as well.
Y'all should be brothers.
Brothers. Like I say, you know, if you win one championship, I'm pretty sure every time y'all get together.
Because you're going to have the reunion.
Yes.
Every 5 year, 10 year, 15, 20, 30.
Yeah. But if you win six together, y'all should be damn near blood brothers.
Yes.
So that's the thing I most feel bad. There's guys I didn't win with. They're some of my best friends.
Right.
Every time I see them, it's like, man, I got another brother. And like, we bumping each other at All-Star game, right. Maybe the Hall of Fame ceremony, or we just bumping each other.
Right.
It's like a family reunion.
Right.
But if I had won 6 championship with somebody, I would think, man, we blood brothers for life.
When people that do what we do take shots at you, I mean, you had the funny back and forth. You and Shaq had the funny back and forth. You put Kendrick Perkins' face on the punching bag,
yeah.
And you punch it and you get in shape. I mean, how do you handle that when guys that do what we do take shots at you?
Yeah, it doesn't bother me because I guess technically we take shots at players.
Right.
The only problem that I had with what Kendrick says, there's nobody in the world watch more basketball than me.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, like, and I had just come out of March Madness, which pissed me off even more because I was watching 2 or 3 college basketball games a day.
Right.
March Madness really sucks because I'm watching games all day long.
Right.
But to say another guys don't watch the games.
Because he has a different opinion than yours.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's the only thing that bothered me. I say there's nobody in the world watch more basketball than me. So, but I don't get mad.
Right.
And the thing that's really funny about it, Shaq is so sensitive at times.
Right.
Because I was going to, like, let it go. And he's like, nah. My mama told me growing up, we kill all roaches. And I said, like, so that's how the whole roast thing came up.
Right.
And so anytime anything happened right now, Shaq's like, we killing roaches. And Shaq is so crazy. He made a rap diss song.
Yeah.
But I don't take it like, the only person I've taken shots at, honestly, is Skip Bayless. Because, man, what we do is such an honor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can say stuff just to say it. Because my whole, going back then, I says, hey man, there's somebody in Montana, mm-hmm. Maine, South Dakota. If I said something bad about these guys, they're like, well, I saw it on television. It's gotta be true.
Right.
So I'm be like, man, I'm not gonna say anything about a player, especially if it's personal. There's somebody in Montana or South Dakota gonna say, well, you know, Charles Barker said this guy was blah, blah, blah. So I'm never gonna use my platform
for negativity. I'm gonna get you out of here on this one. You once said that you probably lost about $20 million in gambling. Have you quenched that urge to gamble, or do you still like to gamble?
I love to gamble. I don't like to gamble. You know, I got to the point. So I would go to Vegas, and I'd win $1 million.
Damn. How many would you play in a hand? 25, 30, 40,000?
I played 25,000 a hand.
Okay.
Yeah. Couple quick double downs, you can get there.
Yeah, and quick double downs, you get it up out your pockets.
There's probably been 7 times that I won $1 million.
Okay.
There's probably been 25 times I've lost $1 million.
Right.
So what happened was I quit gambling for 2 years. And I always take the same group of guys from me, and I said, man, I miss gambling. They're like, well, why don't you start gambling again? I said, well, man, I was getting out of hand. They're like, yo, man, your gambling ain't getting out of hand. You're just an idiot.
Right.
And the one thing I pride myself on around my friends, they can always be honest with me. I said, why you say I'm an idiot? They're like, yo, man, we'll be sitting there. You'll be up $300,000-$400,000. We're like, Chuck, let's go. You're good for the night.
Right.
And in my head, I'm saying, nah, we're not leaving this motherfucker. I win $1 million.
Right.
And they said, dude, there's times you've been up $600,000-$700,000, and you won't quit.
Right.
Because gambling is really just peaks and valleys.
It is.
It's just peaks and valleys.
It's the stock market.
Yes, that's all it is. And they're like, dude, why can't you win $300,000 and say, man, we had a great weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Why you got to win $1 million? And I said, what? They says, why can't you lose 300 and say, we still had a great weekend? And I says, are you serious right now? He says, man, you know I ain't gonna lie to you. Let's win a couple hundred thousand, have a great weekend,
go home,
or lose 200 or 300. You ain't got to win a million, or you ain't got to chase it and lose a million. And so to answer your question, I said, yo, man, we're going to Vegas for the weekend. We're going to lose a couple hundred thousand, or we're going to win a couple hundred thousand. You know what we're going to do? We're going to play golf every day and get drunk every night.
Right.
And I had to change my mentality because you can never break the casino.
No.
They can break your ass.
Yes.
And my friends just sit me down and says, yo, man, let's just go have fun for the weekend. Let's win some money or lose a little bit. But that's what really happened. When I would lose a million, I was so depressed. Not that the money, that's bullshit. Yeah, because of the money, but the losing.
But the winning never feels as good as the losing hurt.
Yes. You're so excited when you got all that money laying in front of you, but you're like depressed for a week.
Yeah.
You're like, damn, I lost $1 million. And then you have to send a bill to your financial people.
Uh-oh.
And they yell at you. And they're yelling and yelling and yelling. And then I says, hey, y'all better quit yelling at me. I'm going to fire y'all. Okay. And then they're like, okay, we'll pay it. But that's what really happened. I was getting out of hand because, like, you just had your point was so good. No matter how good it feels winning, when you lose, it just sucks.
You really doing a Zempic?
No, I'm doing Mounjaro.
Mounjaro.
I've lost. So, Shannon, when I got new hips.
Okay. So you got both of them replaced?
Yes.
I got both of mine replaced.
Yeah, it's the best thing ever.
It is.
Like night and day.
I hate that I waited so long.
Me too. So I played at 250. I got up to 355.
What?
Yeah. It was good.
355?
Yeah. I was good eating too, brother. Good eating. So I got up to 355, and I was with one of my friends. He had lost a lot of weight, and he said, I said, yo, man, how you lose all that weight? And he said, yo, man, I want you to go see my doctor if you're trying to lose weight. And I started doing Mounjaro, and I went from 355 to 285.
Wow.
And I'm going to get to 270. Just take a shot. It's unbelievable. And obviously, I can't stay on it my whole life, but when I get to 270,
then you can work.
Then I can work. Mm-hmm. But like I say, when I got them hips, man, I gained 105 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah, I was up to 355. And now I'm 285, and I want to get to 270. So my doctor's like, 270, you're going to be all right. You know, if you 300, 320, like, you got to worry about diabetes, stroke, hypertension, and things like that.
Ain't a whole lot of 70-year-olds.
No, he told me, she told me, her name is, she's a she. She said, ain't no fat old people. Yeah, ain't no fat old people. So I want to get my weight down because, you know it's interesting and difficult. And, man, I'm 61.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird getting older. And I'm glad to get old.
Right.
But
better than the alternative.
Yeah, but I want to be healthy.
Right.
Back to playing golf all the time now. I'm back to working out. But that's the main thing, man. I want to be here.
Charles Barkley, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Charles.
Thank you, man. It's an honor.
All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle paid the price. Want a slice, got to roll the dice. That's why all my life, I've been grinding all my life. All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle paid the price. Want a slice. Got to roll the dice, that's why. All my life, I've been grinding all my life.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.